It's time to talk cars, have a little fun, serious talk, and a ton of passion with Steve, Felicia, and the rest of the gang here on Drive Friendly.
And welcome to another weekend edition of Drive Friendly. I'm your host, Steve Rosansky. And to me, to my left, is my charming, beautiful wife, Felicia, from Platinum Realty. Good morning. It's a beautiful day. It rained this week. Actually, as you know, today is Thursday, but we're recording. We record on Thursdays for Saturday. It's pouring, raining out. It's the first rain in what, like a year?
I think the sun's starting to come out.
Do you realize the last time it rained was the last time the Jets won a football game? Okay. My Jets,
3 years.
My Jets have lost again. 0-12. They had the game.
They grabbed defeat from the jaws of victory.
It's unbelievable.
You know, they fired the defensive coordinator after that. And people are saying that he threw the game on purpose on a bet. I mean, that's how pathetic this is. This is
Pete Rose called. He said that's a lie.
He bet on that game. That's why they did it. The who calls a blitz? They sent all eight defenders running towards the quarterback. What was it, fourth down? It just gave it away. But Pittsburgh lost also, so that wasn't such a bad
thing. Actually, I have a couple of friends who are Pittsburgh fans, and they're okay. They're okay. They almost feel like, I'm glad we lost this and got the loss out of the way.
Exactly.
Because it's almost like walking with like crystal in your hands and you go higher and higher up the ladder. Eventually, you know something's going to happen. It's going to break and shatter. You know?
Exactly.
So, but honestly, I think this is their year. I think they're the only team that can beat Kansas City, which would be the awesome, awesome championship.
That would be an amazing AFC game.
I think they're the only team that can beat Kansas City.
Yeah, I think nobody from the AFC East, nobody, maybe the Bills, maybe the Bills.
I like the Bills.
I'm going to say the left. Bills will be
wide right. Whatever.
Scott Norwood. So anyway, today we have a special guest, a returning guest from a long time ago.
Super happy to have him. He's a hard guy to get a hold of because he's really busy and he does a lot of incredible things. Ron Genova.
Dr. Ron Genova. Yes.
From Phoenix ER Medical Hospital. And he is going to answer there's a lot of questions. You know, we try to maintain an even balance on the show and we don't take sides on any issue whatsoever.
There'll be no controversy.
We just want to have a good time and give people information. But there is a lot of information about rapid testing and antibodies and vaccines, and there's a lot of confusion out there.
Right.
So we just got Dr. Ron to set us straight, give us a straight poop, as it were, on what's going on and what we can expect and what we should be doing to keep ourselves safe, if we need to get tested, how long it takes, and all those questions that everybody's like Googling and getting 15 different answers.
I Google everything. That's how we fix cars here at Friendly Auto Centers. No, I'm just kidding. And with us, speaking of controversial, we have PK Jordan back in the house. There she is. Take your glasses off. Good looking woman. Look at that. But when you got your glasses on, I'm looking at your monitor.
The whole bunch of people on the radio, they can't see her. But trust me, she's very good looking.
She's very good looking. And with us, here's the opposite of it, where you can't get a date. Ryan, what's it been, 2 years now since your last date?
Come on.
Ryan Steckelberg from VIP Mortgage in the house as usual. And of course, Matt the Mustache Watson from State Farm. He's your local State Farm located at
Brown and Power,
right by where Dr. Ron lives over in that area. So, wonderful guy to do business with.
There, Steve?
You know what? I'm kind of losing it. This is the stuff that happens. I'm getting closer to 60. I get in a room. I don't know what I'm doing there. I can't remember anything. Ron, you have a cure for CRS? You know, can't remember stuff.
Just don't ever get out of bed.
Yeah, I tried that today and it didn't go my way.
I put post-it notes on his forehead and he still doesn't remember. So I give up.
Because the glue, you got to write it on the backwards.
We have a lot of listeners that have been writing into us.
Lots of questions
and been calling. And also there's a lot of questions that you get every day. People calling, people writing on Facebook. You have a very large Facebook presence. You answer questions all the time for people. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of questions I thought, you know what? Why don't we just take some of those questions and give them to all of our listeners? Because if these people are coming, it's like in a classroom. One guy raises his hand to ask a question. There's probably six more people that want to know the answer, but they won't ask.
Now, you knew of these questions days ago, but you didn't tell me till now that that's what we're doing.
Okay. So anyway,
I don't even have the benefit of looking this stuff
up. Is it true there are no dumb questions?
After 41 years in the business, you
44.
Would think you're 40, I'm sorry. You're 112 and you've been doing this since you've been two.
I started in 1977.
Steve actually started working for Henry Ford with the original Ford team, Model T Ford, and did the first oil change. That being said, let's get to some questions.
Okay. Could take ownership of the Detroit Lions and help us out a little bit.
Did you guys win last week?
Yes, we did. Thank you.
And
for the
Matt
first
Patricia
time.
Did not call.
Matt Patricia never beat the Chicago Bears. And Daryl Bevel comes in as interim head coach. And what do you know? We beat the Bears. We've got a locker room back in order. And you know what? I'm a loyal Lions fan once again. Here we go. Super Bowl 2021.
We will have a conversation later in the show about how Bill Belichick basically messes with everyone's career, but that's for later. Anyway, let's get to some.
Yeah, come on.
Because that's what Matt Patricia was. He was an ex-Bill Belichick. But anyway, first question, and this is a big one.
Good question.
This is a big one. What is the difference when you're fixing a car and you tell someone, I can get it aftermarket, but I can't get it OEM, or I can get OEM, but would you prefer aftermarket? Isn't it all aftermarket because it's after the car has been built?
No. Here's the difference between OEM. OEM stands for Original Equipment Manufacturer. Now, there also happens to be a product line. Somehow they nailed they were able to grab the part company name of OEM Auto Parts.
Clever.
But they're not OEM. They're not Original Equipment Manufacturers. So aftermarket, let's say you go to AutoZone, you buy a set of brake pads. It's their own formula, their own. They have a private company making brake pads under their name. Now, they're made, according to them, to OEM specs, but they're half the price. So how is it that they're OEM specs if they're half the price? It's almost impossible. They will fit and they will function, but they're not what came from the factory. When you buy OEM, let's say you buy, you own a Toyota. Now you go to Toyota and you buy an OEM product. That means it will be an exact fit, an exact match. The electronics are going to be exact. Now, if you go, let's talk about an electronic part, like a crankshaft position sensor. You can go to AutoZone or O'Reilly's and buy a sensor that will fit and function for 50% less of what
it
costs.
That's an aftermarket piece?
That's an aftermarket part. But the problem is they have a super high frequency of failure. Ridiculous amount.
Then why do they make them?
It's a cheaper alternative. Now, some people will install them in cars, never have a problem. I know people who use aftermarket brakes. I use aftermarket brakes. We use Centric and Bendix. I've been using them my entire career, and they are better than OEM. All right. But when it comes to electronic parts, computer parts, I only want to use original equipment. Everything is exact to what it should be. So when you want to buy an oxygen sensor or a crankshaft sensor, if it's not like a high-end part like Denso or Bosch who makes for the OEM, then I'm only going to install OEM in the customer's car. But I'm not going to install some off-brand kind of part. Although it'll fit and function, it won't fit and function like the original part.
When you, I'll do follow up, and maybe this is your stump question. I think I might have a stump question for you.
I like it.
There's a huge used car market going on right now. People are buying
very,
used
very
cars.
Big.
I mean, public transportation's really been put on the back burner during the COVID crisis.
Mm-hmm.
If you're buying a used car, can you tell if the parts that we use to fix that car, because obviously if it's used, something's probably gone wrong along the way before they're selling it. Can you tell if you're buying a car with OEM parts or aftermarket parts?
Not really. I mean, you'd have to start dismantling a lot of things to see that. But let's say you have an alternator or a power steering pump, something that when you open up the hood, you can see it. So let's say take an alternator. There's usually a decal on it. It may say O'Reilly's or Delco or something. There's usually a product decal with a part number, and you could see that. But the best way to do it is whoever you're buying the car from, ask if they maintain their receipts or if you can get a hold of their prior repair shop. Because the prior repair shop would love to show you what they've installed because they may gain a new customer.
That's a great point. And we're going to be doing another show about how to buy a used car because I don't think people really would even, I don't think that I would have thought originally, you know, before I met you and you schooled me so relentlessly on cars, to even ask for like receipts of repairs.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a good question. All right, we got to move on because we only have a few more minutes on this segment. So what is NVH? Like,
that's acronym.
I see that acronym. I'm seeing it popping up and people are calling and asking about it. What does NVH stand for?
Noise, vibration, and harshness. It is probably
is that what you deal with that, PK, in your negotiations? Yeah. Noise, vibration, and harshness?
Probably.
Doing divorce stuff.
Time out.
Probably. You know, years ago, I could get a car, you know, Ron Genova will drop his car off and say, hey, Steve, I'm having a rattle in the Audi, which we've had before.
Sure.
And usually from experience, test drive, you can usually pinpoint a car, you know, to the general area. But nowadays, with cars being so compact, and you have cars with multi-wishbone suspension, lots of moving parts, you can't just drive it and throw it up on the lift and use a pry bar and look for something loose. There's actually equipment. We have these radio devices that we clip on throughout the car with a set of earphones and then microphones for certain areas so we can listen and precisely pinpoint where that noise comes from. But the days of just putting a car on the lift and trying to find it, days are gone.
I have a little backup question that I remember. I know being with you many times we'd be in a car and if something would, like my car wouldn't be right, you'd be like, shh, I can listen. And it seems to me that auto tech mechanics need to have an incredible sense of hearing. Oh, yeah. I don't think people realize how important it is. There's so many different sounds and rattles.
Yeah. Over the years.
I'm asking you to help me clean up after dinner. How come you can't hear that?
What?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, that's just one
of the things I have to say. I have a thing with my husband's car and the AC, and I'm like, quiet, and I'm trying to record it for Steve. Doggone it!
It doesn't work that way.
If the window doesn't roll down, I'm recording it so that way you believe me, because nothing me more than anything is when a stupid car won't work right, and then I have to get it to replicate, and it's perfect for you.
So, well, One of the things is, and this happened actually recently, a customer came to me with a noise. So she goes, I'm hearing this noise in my car. So I get in the car and I hear this tremendous noise. I know exactly what it is. It's a bad wheel bearing. Okay. This is what I hear. And she's driving the car with me. I'm like, you hear that loud sound? She's like, yes, I heard a wheel bearing. She was talking about something totally different. So I fixed the wheel bearing. Car's fixed. Sounds great. She picks it up, drives right back. She goes, it's making the same noise. I'm like, there's no noise. I go, three mechanics. We get in the car. We're driving it around. We don't hear anything. This woman has like dog ears. We couldn't find anything. We had to hook this, it's called chassis ear, to the car, turn the recording device up way loud. And it was just such high pitched squeal. None of us, even her husband, couldn't hear this noise. It ended up being a fan motor. For her air conditioning, but the
credit
fact that,
to that woman, credit but, to that woman.
But wait a minute,
we're going back.
How did she not hear that her wheels were falling off? I'm like, don't you notice?
How do you not hear? Help me clean up after dinner. It's called selective.
That's because we have kids for that.
It's called selective hearing.
No, but how did she not hear the wheel bearings that were so bad? And she completely didn't notice the difference between this loud droning noise and this high pitched noise that nobody else could hear. But what I want to touch real quick before we run out of time, NVH, you're going to start seeing service stations. They're going to be charging diagnostic fees. The days of putting it up on the lift and just looking for a rattle, it's gone. It's quite complicated to find noise because I can't hear what you're hearing. We can only hear what, you know, we agree on. So we usually take a ride with the customer, but don't be shocked if you go into a service station and they say, we're going to need an hour or two to, find this noise. So that being said, we're going to turn the show over to Felicia and Dr. Ron Genova from Phoenix ER and Medical Hospital located in Chandler. Felicia.
Ron, we are really, really delighted that you made time because we know how busy you are. Can you just tell us a little bit? You're a really unique and interesting guy. We love talking to you. Who starts a hospital? Like
only crazy people. I need a hospital for us. For having gotten that started. We have Arizona's first real physician-owned, micro-hospital. Huge process getting that up and going, but it's been very fulfilling. We're now entering our second year of business as of March is our second year anniversary year that we're open. And we're a full-service small community hospital. We don't do big surgeries. We're not a trauma center. But if you have medical issues, things like chest pain, I have abdominal pain, I've got a sore throat, COVID if you have a question, well, do I have COVID? That's what we're there to provide. It's a small facility, so we're not overrun. We don't have a million people in our waiting room. We try and get you back as quickly as possible. This is the thing about physician owned and operated. Our interest is our patients, so patients come first.
Just so like can anyone just walk into the hospital? I mean, how does that work? If I'm not feeling good, I could just. And where is your hospital located?
So our hospital is right on Queen Creek and Dobson. So we're in the kind of southern end of the metro area. A great intersection, beautiful mall. The K's are right behind us. It's really picturesque. You feel like you're in the Greek islands back there. It's just a beautiful area.
Is that where all the restaurants are over there?
Yeah, they have the living room. They have living rooms right there. And Humble Pie is there. So they have got some great restaurants there. So if you're not feeling sick, come down there and have some food at the mall. It's great. Then if, when you get heartburn, then you can come and see us.
So can anybody just walk in and say, hey, I'm not feeling good. I need a doctor.
That is correct. We do break up our hospital into what we call a green zone and a red zone. So this way, if you're coming in with symptoms that look like COVID, we want to protect our patients who are not having COVID-like symptoms. So we try and separate everybody out for everyone's safety. And of course, nothing's perfect. But at the end of the day, you can be assured if you're coming in and you have flu-like symptoms, we're going to guide you to our red zone and look at you and see whether COVID is an issue or the flu or just a common cold or what else could be causing those symptoms.
Are you treating COVID patients currently in your hospital?
Yes. There's lots of COVID around, no doubt about it. It's, you know, our first round of COVID back in January, February, March of last year, really kind of affected older people more as the summer went through. And we saw a huge big bump. Everyone knows that for over the summer, June and July. It started getting into that 30 to 50 age group. And now it's really kind of all across the board. We now that school's back in session, you do have some cases, pediatric cases that have come through. Luckily, everyone's fairly well. It acts like a common cold in the younger populations, 20s and 30s. So working people who are, you know, part of our essential economy, you know, packing your groceries, delivering your packages. That's who we're seeing right now. We're seeing quite a few of those.
Frontline workers.
There's a lot, Ron. I mean, throughout this whole thing, first of all, I admire you completely because to open up a business as challenging as yours and then get hit with the whole COVID thing, that's got to be like, that's going to be like supercharged you're going through now.
And it's waves, you know, at one time you have a tsunami of people, other times it's a little bit more normal, but that's emergency medicine and medicine. It's like the ocean. The waves keep coming. You just don't know what the size is going to be.
Well, one day we'll be doing a TV or reality show about you because people love to see that. But there's so much confusion about rapid testing and antibodies and vaccines. Can you sort of like give us your take on like the different kinds of testing that's out there and what we can expect and how we should behave?
Rapid testing.
With testing.
Yeah. Right. I don't understand whether rapid gets you in fast or results fast.
So we have antigens which look for signs of an immune response. We look for antibodies, which look for a more distant sign of an immune response. In other words, have you had it recently or later? So IgM, more recent, later in the past, IgG. And we also have PCR testing. PCR actually looks at fragments of RNA or DNA, and then they get enhanced by what we call cycles so that the machines can then pick up whether the fragment is there. The question that everyone has is how accurate are these tests really? And so a lot of debate in the scientific literature as to the utility of some of these tests in diagnosing infection. At the end of the day, it's going to be a combination of do you have a positive result and do you have a clinical syndrome? In other words, if you come and you have high fever, cough, and shortness of breath and muscle aches, and you have a positive test, the likelihood is that you have the syndrome. People who are completely asymptomatic and test positive are a little bit more of a mystery. We don't know exactly, we're not exactly sure whether people who test positive but are completely asymptomatic really truly have the illness or not. that has not been decided in the literature.
That's really scary.
Wow.
I find that to be really unsettling.
Yeah, well, it's just one of the limitations of the test, which is why it's so important for everyone to understand the science. And that, you know, things, a lot of things that people are taking as gospel are, there's really some debate in the literature and in the researchers as to what exactly that means. So from the clinical standpoint, if we're seeing you as a patient, if you're simply testing positive for COVID, obviously we're going to recommend that you self-isolate, that you take the appropriate amount of time, that at least we know that you're not infectious 7 to 10 days out, and then getting retested sometime in the future just to see if that turns into a negative test. If you're symptomatic and have positive tests, then you more than likely have that clinical syndrome. So it's not just simply a positive or negative test. There is, you do need someone to look at you.
What do you say to people? I've heard people say this. I just want to go out, get it, get out, get it over with. Everyone's going to get it anyway. What's your feeling about that sort of feeling?
Well, so you have to look at different models in different countries. The Swedish model in particular has taken that standpoint. The original point of our quote unquote lockdowns was to do precisely that. They ran mathematical models early on during the course of this virus, and they theorized, and you can debate whether these were real numbers or not. There's a huge debate as to whether the numbers used or the methodology was correct. They originally predicted that 2 million people would die fairly shortly, and that the healthcare systems would be overwhelmed. And so the whole point of the lockdowns, in other words, we're going to keep everyone isolated for 2 or 4 weeks, was to slow down the spread of the infection or the contagiousness so that you wouldn't have like a million people showing up at the same time. That was the original intent of the lockdown, was to not overwhelm your medical system where everything just goes kaput because everything's overwhelmed. It's now morphed into something a little bit different. So I'm going to go back to the Swedish model where they said, you know, we really are not going to close our society down. We're gonna go with what we call a herd immunity type theory, which is everyone gets it, and we don't develop some immunity to it. We decrease the contagiousness, or what they call the R factor or contagious factor, and eventually we're going to hit what we call a herd immunity threshold, or an HIT. And the original theory was that the HIT was somewhere in the 70 to 80% range. In other words, you had to have 70 to 80% of your population get the illness in order to provide that herd immunity. As it turns out in Sweden, that may be as low as 30%. And the reason why is we have such beautiful, complex immune systems that we have not only antibodies, we have T cells, which remember a common cold that you may have had 10 years ago. So it turns out that a lot of people who don't get COVID may be immune for reasons other than what we can explain related to cell-mediated immunity. And that gets into the question of vaccines. What do vaccines do for you? Do they stimulate just a antibody response, or do they affect your T cell immunity? And so this is a multi-layered approach our body has to fighting infection. We still have limited understanding as to exactly how that system works. But at the end of the day, the herd immunity is most likely the best way out of this whole situation. That would be my own personal thought, because at the end of the day, we still don't know how the vaccines are going to work, whether they need to be repeated, how they confer any type of immunity, what are the side effects. We don't know that. What are the long-term side effects, short-term, long-term? And at the end of the day, this is an illness that in people under age 65 has a pretty low mortality and morbidity rate. It's not zero. It's not as bad as something like the Spanish flu was, but it's certainly something that when we look at the data, probably is not something that we absolutely need immunizations for, because eventually we'll all get it whether we like it or not.
Well, I think that what I've noticed though, and through my own personal experience, just through friends, colleagues, just being out, you know, well, I'm not really out in the world, but being out in the social media world, is there's a lot of people. I myself have a pre-existing condition, which I would probably get very, very ill. I have a heart condition. So I've been told, you know, I am one of those people that can't get this. It would really go south for me. And I have a lot of people that I know in my life who have immune diseases, immunological diseases. They've got Graves' disease or Hashimoto or other situations going on, fibromyalgia. And there's a lot of people out there with all these other issues going on. So how do you address, how do we address that in terms of herd immunity? Aren't someone like me and people like that, like the weak link in this, that if we get it, we're going down?
Well, I think you're painting a little bit of a dire picture. Again, you know, we have a lot of people out there who have all sorts of various illnesses. They're not dying from this. Now, they may not be very well. They are at higher risk for having complications, severe pneumonias, and dying. But it's not like Ebola. It's not 60% or 70% or smallpox, which have sometimes up to 90% mortalities. This is something that has tenths of a percent type mortality. Unfortunately, if you're in that immune compromised or other healthcare problem situation, you might have a 1% or 2%. Now, if you're that 1%, it sucks. But on the other hand, this is not 60 or 70%. So I don't want people to be over hysterical about this. And some of what we're seeing is a little bit of a hysteria. At the end of the day, if you don't get immunized, which again has its own set of questions, you will eventually get COVID. There is no question that at some point in time, it is contagious enough, it's ubiquitous enough that at some point in time, you're going to get COVID, whether you like it or not. And at the end of the day, you probably will, you may not even realize you have it. You may feel like, oh, I'm just feeling under the weather. I've got some loose stools. It's something I ate. It could be something as simple as that. So the problem with contagious diseases, eventually they will make their way around. If it's not this round, it'll be another round. And that's just going to be life, because that's how life works.
And that's why you're always going to have a job.
Yes, job security, no doubt about it.
I appreciate so much of the explanation, what you're telling us. It is really hard to...
it's a wonderful
There's just a lot of noise out there, you know, and you just don't know who you're listening to and what's being said. So I always prefer information from a medical person because I still believe in science. So I appreciate all the explanations. Well,
he's the first person that's explained it in in a way that is very scientific and in terms that I can understand, where I'm not listening to somebody who is just reading an article out of the Arizona Republic or something.
Ron, how can people get in touch with you if they want to find out more about your hospital and what you do?
Oh yeah. Do you accept questions? Like if somebody wanted to email you a question about any of this, would you take on that or no?
Absolutely. You certainly can write an email to us at info@phoenixerhospital.com. Our team would then forward those questions over to one of the clinicians. We're sure happy to answer some of those things. We do have rapid testing available at our hospital where you will know within the next 2 or 3 hours and we can get those results back to you. We either email or call you with those results.
On those, is that up the nose or the swab inside the mouth?
This current test is the nose test. We have actually 3 different tests. We have what we call a PCR, which is the nose test. We have an antigen test, which we use on our little kids because they don't do super well with things stuck in the back of their nose, which is at the front of the nose. And then we also have an antibody swab, which is a blood test.
Okay.
Awesome. What about antibodies?
Guys, we're down to one. We only have like 1 minute. Yeah. So we're just, you know what? I think after the break, we're going to come back. We have a lot more questions. We all have questions. I'm watching Matt and PK like at the edge of their seat going, boy, I got a question. I think a lot of people have questions. And I'm sure some of the questions you have, our listeners want to hear as well. So yeah. One more time, how can we reach you, Ron? And then we can take a break and come back and finish up with some more questions.
Any email questions, please send over to info@phoenixerhospital.com. You can certainly call. Obviously, we have a clinician there outside all the time. You know, you can call our general number. I think you guys will post that on the website and the radio program. So we're generally not going to be able to answer those questions. Obviously, we're doing patient care, so that it might be a little bit tough to answer those over the phone. Probably the best way to reach us is through our email.
Perfect. Awesome. Terrific.
Awesome. So if you have any questions, give Ron an email. And we're going to talk to Ryan. So,
Ron's got a lot more information, but we're just going to take a quick break because I mean, Ryan looks a little lonely sitting over there.
He is lonely.
I know he is just bursting to give us his pick of the week because while the Raiders did beat the Jets, no big surprise except
yeah, that wasn't really a very good pick.
So they didn't cover. So is your lock of the week so what's your lock this week?
The lock of the week is Falcons Chargers over 50 points. I think they're going to score a ton of points in that game.
That's an easy bet. I would take that. Falcons, I would take that.
You know, any given Sunday, anything can happen.
I had to pick a side.
I love Herbert. I think that kid's going to be a great quarterback.
Meanwhile, it's a quarterback who's still got acne problems. He's got pimples. Yeah, the kid's like 19 years old.
I know. If I had to pick a side, it would probably be the Seahawks.
Yeah. The Giants beat him last week.
I know.
Hey, Ron, who's your football team?
You know, anyone who's a friend of the Bills is a friend of mine.
All right.
I like the Bills this year.
I've been rooting for the Bills this
Sunday
year.
Night.
Yeah.
Aren't they the only team in New York?
Bills Steelers.
The only real New York team.
Socially distanced, or I'd be like smacking you in the head. Right
you know what? If you were a true New Yorker, you would understand that anything north of the Bronx is Canada. So we do not count Buffalo as a New York team. They're at Niagara. They're on the border of Canada.
No, but I want to shout out to Michael Wright, who's been a great friend, a listener. He was a client of mine. I know he's a client of Steve.
Yes, he is.
And he's a huge Buffalo fan. Him and his family are from Buffalo, New York.
Yes.
So I am thrilled for you, Michael. You have suffered many, many years being Bills fan. So maybe this is your year, at least until they play Kansas City in the playoffs, and then they're dead.
They're the only team that lost 4 Super Bowls in a row.
He always had to rub that
in. Jim Kelly.
Wide right.
Yeah, anyway. Okay, so let's get back to Dr. Ron. I know PK and Ryan and Matt all had questions. So PK, you go for it and let's see what we got.
My question is with the vulnerable community 65 and over, if anybody just in general has asthma, COPD, emphysema, what do you have to say to those people in that specifically regarding COVID and what to watch for? Because I know Felicia covered quite a bit with the autoimmunes, but that just seems to me very delicate population there.
Sure. So this is a mixed bag, right? As we get older, it's so important for us to have social interaction. However, that social interaction comes with a price. So for people who are older, have multiple medical problems, they're going to probably be doing a little bit more self-isolation than what the general population should be. And in the Swedish model, that was their protected population. They originally made the same mistakes that our East Coast mayors and governors did, which is they unfortunately let people with active COVID back into nursing homes, which resulted in a very high initial mortality rate. After it became obvious that this was not a smart thing to do, the Swedes came back and said, well, this is going to have to be a protected population. And these are the people for whom the vaccines really are the most important. Because if it confers any kind of immunity, even if it's short term, that might bring a little bit of normalcy back to the life where they can see relatives or friends and at least be somewhat reassured that they're not going to contract COVID. That remains to be seen. That question is not answered, which is one of the many, many problems with the vaccine is that there's just limited data. But common sense would dictate it is if you get a good antibody response, the likelihood is that it confers some immunity. There's some data to show that. There isn't data to show whether it really prevents people from dying. That data has not been shown yet. And we don't know anything about shorter or long-term side effects. Older people need higher doses of the vaccine to stimulate an immune response. So at the end of the day, until we have a better, clearer picture, people who with multi-conditions or over 65 are going to be more cautious.
Gotcha. And also, I just got back from Hawaii and I did the 72-hour and paid the money for that. That is not a guarantee for being able to go to Hawaii and enjoy your vacation. I was actually quarantined for 14 days, even spending the money. And so that's just for the listeners out there. I'm not a tourist. I lived in Hawaii for 12 years. So I had a bigger agenda of what I wanted to accomplish there. It would stink if you were a tourist first timer going there. But because my testing, the company was not on their preferred list. When I got out of, when I was in the airport, they looked at it and immediately stamped it and said, you're under quarantine. That means no rental car, nothing. You have to stay there or it was a $5,000 fine.
Well, at least you're in Hawaii.
Yeah, really. I'd like to be quarantined in Hawaii. Real problem.
I mean, it's not like being quarantined in Detroit, you know?
Yeah.
But if you spend thousands and thousands of dollars and you have to be in hotel.
No, that would definitely stink. Matt, you had a question for Dr. Ron?
What about the antibody testing? People are talking about going in, getting an antibody testing and saying, oh, I've had it. What's the point of knowing that I had it? Because at this point, don't we not know if you can't ever get it again?
That is correct. So understand that if you've had it, the original thought was, well, if you've had it, you've developed antibodies. The likelihood is, and again, there is no data to support this, is that if you've had it before, the likelihood is that you get some kind of short-term immunity. We don't have enough experience with COVID to know what the long-term immunity is. There are examples across the globe of people who have come down with COVID more than once. There are obviously questions about what's driving that bus. So at the end of the day, again, having an antibody may make you feel reassured that you have some kind of immunity. You may have some kind of immunity. To what degree is completely uncertain.
There's a lot of unknowns.
Wow, it must be frustrating as a physician to have so much different kind of information coming at you and having people like us and your patients say, like, what do we do? I can't imagine how frustrating this must be.
I read on Google that I only need to.
WebMD.
Dr. Google definitely is job security for us. You know, there's such a thing as some information and too much information, right? Having a little bit of information can make you more dangerous than having none.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the day, everyone needs to take a step back, take a deep breath, realize the grander picture here, which is this is still a fairly low mortality rate kind of process. Again, if you're under 65, the chance of you dying of COVID is less than 99.99%.
Okay? Then how come, I just got to ask you this, all this being true, and I'm not questioning that it is because you're telling me it isn't, I believe you, why are the hospitals being overwhelmed?
We can debate that a little bit too. Just remember, here in Arizona, and I've been here for many, many years, every December, January, February, March, guess what? The hospitals are overrun.
Yeah, but I'm not just talking about Arizona. I mean, just nationally, you know, if you open up the paper, it's like, you know, Detroit, they're like, they have triage situations set up in like parking lots now. I mean, you read this stuff and it does make you wonder, like, what's going on?
Yeah. Well, like everything else, it comes in waves. We're having waves. So we'll have periods. Again, if you look, we've had three waves so far. We've had a January, February wave. We had a June, July wave. Here in Arizona, we're going to have a little bit of a November, December wave. At the end of the day, the hospitals are functioning well. I'm going to speak to our Metro Valley area. The hospitals are doing a great job. They're doing what they can to have COVID units, to have dedicated ICU specialists for if you, God forbid, get that sick. At the end of the day, but remember, at the end of the day, every December, January, February, March into early April, the hospitals are 110% full in Arizona, regardless of COVID. So we have overflowing hospitals because of the seasonality of our visitors, because it is flu season and that's when people get sick from other things. So at the end of the day, you're going to see pockets and waves around the country, but the healthcare system is not beyond overwhelmed. I think, again, there's some hysteria there that the data doesn't support that it's exactly the case.
Well, I hate to stop you because this is so interesting. Promise that you'll come back because I know we're going to have more questions.
Absolutely.
Can I ask one quick one?
You have 29 seconds, Ryan. Go for it.
How long is this going to last, honestly?
it's going to be with us. I think it's just, I don't think it'll ever be gone at this point. It'll be like the flu. It's going to be a seasonal cold. It's going to come around year to year to year. And until people, as a result, get some immunity, or if the vaccines happen to work, you know, we'll keep our fingers crossed and pray for that. There's going to be it's going to be here.
Wow. Well, thank you for that, for all the information. And we definitely have to ask you back. We have a few more minutes, and I don't want to miss giving Matt his good neighbor moment.
Yeah, and chime in whenever you
and
feel
so,
like
please,
it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ron. And Matt, good neighbors. Let's have some positive news.
You know, this is my favorite opportunity to have a conversation. So the good neighbor, they're so many great organizations this time of the year. We talked about it last week, but I want to spotlight one, a good friend of mine, Mandy Pope with Next Level Signs. They do a lot of business signs, plus they do from business cards, all kinds of other stuff, a great company. But she is part of this organization called Los Ojos de la Familia, and that is www.losojosdelafamiliaaz.org. And it's an amazing organization where they started in New Mexico and they served 500 families there. They brought it here to Arizona, to the Valley 4 years ago, where they started serving 75 families with food, with toys, and just creating a true Christmas for these families. And in 4 years now, this year they're going to be feeding 300 families. So I just wanted to give them a shout out, because it's a grassroots organization that has developed into something bigger, and they continue to grow bigger and bigger each year. And I'm so proud of what they're doing. You can go to the website losojosdelafamiliaaz.org, and you can for $50 feed a family. They've got plenty of toys this year. So really what they're looking for is any type of financial donation, or on December 19th, that's when they're going to be going out and delivering to families. And they've got 300 families to deliver to. They do not have enough drivers that have volunteered to go take to those families.
Do you know if they're one of the charities that qualifies for Arizona Gives?
Well, I do not know that. I know they are a 501c organization. So how that qualification, I'm not sure, but you can certainly reach out to them at their website. And just a great opportunity to get involved with just one, another organization that helps those families in need.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out just to Arizona in general, because I find people in Arizona are extremely generous in giving food, clothing, donations, especially this time of year. So we'll have all that information up on our website. We'll be posting it on our live Facebook. It's going to be posted. You can always contact Matt at Matt Watson State Farm to find out more about it. So thank you for that good neighbor, Matt. And PK's got a win.
So I have a win from a couple of weeks ago. And basically, the family is taking a timeout. And what I mean by that is that everybody is going through so much. They were, going through a divorce, business was involved. And there's just such great parts of these characteristics or qualities of these people that I noticed. And I talked to them individually and I asked them to take a pause. Is it possible during these holidays, can we take a pause? Because I feel like there's something about you guys that is so special that I see. And I just want you guys to take a step back. You know, I wasn't worried about myself. I'm thinking about them and their intentional parenting and their family. And they did elect to put it on pause, go to counseling. We're trying to do that as much as we possibly can, because I think a lot of us are quick to pull the trigger to head down the road to divorce. And sometimes that's not the answer, and possibly separation is the answer. So that's what we're about. And that to me, it's paid in full, and it still makes my day, because right now it's about our families. The other one thing I wanted to mention is the Lullaboy Foundation offers counseling stipends. We do have quite a bit of grant money, and we're making a very big push. I've got a planning meeting today regarding what we're doing with those funds, how we're going to get the word out at the schools, the school counselors, social workers, and other counselors in our community. So if any of you listeners out there are in the counseling or mental health business and have some resources, please do contact us at the Lullaboy Foundation. We are looking to partner with other organizations so that we can provide for our community.
And I know you partner up with a friend of ours, Sherry Eklund, who does Teen Strong AZ.
She is amazing.
We got to get her on the show. What she's doing for young women in our community, how she's reaching out to them, especially at this time when I have a 20-year-old daughter. There's so much isolation. These poor young girls, you know, just as you're coming into your life has to be put on hold. old. So you guys are doing a great, great, great service to the community.
There was an internet safety class last night, and I will be doing some internet safety classes in Spanish and in English. So I don't charge for my time. I just want to get the word out there to give some tools to our families. So for listeners that are in the education business as well, teachers, aides, whatever, we're here to provide services. And if I don't have the answer, I'll find someone that does.
Thank you so Amazing. Much.
You know, we have such community-minded people. You have Ron Genova, who's got this great
starts
hospital.
A freaking hospital. I mean, who hospital. Does that? It's
I want to get a Baskin Robbins. This guy gets a hospital. I don't get it. You get Matt Watson, who services the Red Mountain and Los Angeles area. And, of course, the rest of Mesa. He's always got something going on. You get Ryan. Well, Ryan doesn't do anything. And you got PK.
Ryan is funding half the people in this town to get refinanced at this point.
Yes, he is.
Ryan is creative, and he doesn't stop.
Ryan's awesome.
Ryan gets the job done when nobody else can get the job done.
That's cute.
Not what she said.
Oh boy, that's a loaded one. All right, so we're about running out of time here. We only got about another minute left. So it was wonderful to see rain today. Now you guys are listening, and it's Saturday.
Probably sunny.
But it's really nice and rainy outside.
I really enjoy watching football games, especially in places like Detroit and Green Bay now.
Yeah, I can't
it
even.
So much fun.
It doesn't feel like the holidays. It's not cold and wet snow and all that kind of stuff.
We've been here 8 years. Get used to it.
Yeah, I know. All right, so I want to thank everybody for coming to the show today. Ron Genova, great, great doctor, great man, crazy driver. You got to see this guy. My car shakes at 140 miles an hour. One of the first things he ever said to us. And I handed it to the mechanic. It's like, customer complained, it's driving at 140, he goes, no, I'm not doing this. So, great guy, Matt Watson, State Farm, Matt the Mustache, where insurance is elementary, right? Is that your new tagline?
Make it so simple, it's elementary.
PK Jordan, one of the scariest women I've ever met. And of course, right next to me, my beautiful bride of 27 years, Ryan Steckelberg, the Lord of the Loan.
We gotta go.
The maven of mortgage. Stick around, be back next week, but stay here at 1580 The Fanatic. Lots of great sports coming up today. See you all next week, and remember, drive friendly, Arizona.
Go Cardinals.
Thank you for listening to Drive Friendly with Steve and Felicia. Visit drivefriendlyaz.com for live shows, past shows, and more about our host and guests.